So in honor of the appearance of Sri Radha Kund at midnight last night, and for our own purification, we shall read a verse that describes the glories of Sri Radha Kund. The verse is from the Nectar of Instruction, an authorized English presentation of Srila Rupa Goswami's Sri Upadeshamrita, text 11. This is not the verse. Krishnasya chai pranaya vasti prayasi bhyoki radha kundam chasya munibhir abhitastidrig eva vyadasi yat prestar apyalama sulabham kimpurna bhakti bhajam tat premadam sakridapi Sarasnan Taravich Karoti. Please repeat. Krishnasya, of Lord Sri Krishna, Uchai, very highly, Pranaya Vasati, object of love, Prayasibhya, of the many lovable gopis, Api, certainly, Radha, Shrimati Radharani, Kundam, lake, Cha, also, Asya, of her, Munibi, by great sages, Abhita, in all respects, Tadrik, Eva, similarly, Vyadai is described, yet which Preshtai, the most advanced devotees, Api, even, Alam, enough, Asulabham, difficult to obtain. Kim, what? Puna, again. Bhakti bhajam, for persons engaged in devotional service. Such that prema, love of Godhead, idam, this, sakrit, once, api, even, sara, lake, Snatu, of one who has bathed, Avishkaroti, arouses. Translation. of the many objects of favored delight, and of all the lovable damsels of Rajabhumi. Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love, and in every respect, her divine kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radha Kund is very rarely attained, even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. Please repeat. Of the many objects of favored delight. And of all the lovable damsels of Rajabhumi. Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radha Kund is very rarely attained, even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Why is Radha Kund so exalted? The lake is so exalted because it belongs to Srimati Radharani, who is the most beloved object of Sri Krishna. Among all the gopis, she is the most beloved. Similarly, her lake, Sri Radha Kund, is also described by great sages as the lake that is as dear to Krishna as Radha herself. Indeed, Krishna's love for Radha Kund and Srimati Radharani is the same in all respects. Radha Kund is very rarely attained, even by great personalities fully engaged in devotional service. Not to speak of ordinary devotees who are only engaged in the practice of Vaidhi Bhakti. So Srila Prabhupada begins with the question, why is Radha Kund so exalted? And he answers that the lake is so exalted because it belongs to Srimati Radharani, who is the most beloved object of Sri Krishna. In the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Tasmat Taratara Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Of all types of worship, the worship of Vishnu or Krishna is the most exalted. But even higher than the worship of Vishnu or Krishna is the worship of things related to Krishna. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing in Jagannath Puri, the king, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, was very eager to meet the Lord. But the Lord refused to meet him because he was a king, and kings are associated with wealth and women, and for a sannyasi to associate with wealth and women, or someone who is associated with wealth and women, is considered an obstacle. And in the culture at the time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the Acharya, was following all of the rules and regulations of the sannyasa ashram to set the ideal example. But the king was a great devotee. He had a full faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And many of the Lord's most confidential associates were recommending him to the Lord, including Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Ramananda Rai, and even Nityananda Prabhu himself. So Lord Chaitanya was in a dilemma. He didn't want to meet the king in person, but at the same time, he didn't want to disappoint the king. Rather, he wanted to encourage him, because the king had offered his entire kingdom at the disposal of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and had done many favors for the Lord. So as a compromise, Lord Chaitanya sent him a piece of his cloth, because Tadiyanam Samarchanam, the worship of something related to the Lord is even better than the worship of the Lord directly. So this principle of Tadiya Seva is extended often. Most often the verse is used to refer to devotees who are related to the Lord, that the service of devotees is more exalted than the service of the Lord himself. Often Tadiya Seva is related to Tulsi Devi, the service of Tulsi Devi, because she's related to the Lord. She's a devotee of the Lord, and she's related to the Lord. And of course, of all of the devotees, Srimati Radharani is most exalted, the most dearly beloved of all of Krishna's girlfriends. And therefore, her worship or her service is the most exalted. But because Sri Radha Kund is Tadiya, it is related to her, it is her lake, it is as worshipable and lovable as she is. And Krishna loves her lake as much as he loves her. Now, what is our connection with Radha Kund? It is stated that a devotee will at once develop pure love of Krishna in the wake of the gopis if he once takes a bath in Radha Kund. Can we do something about the humming? Srila Rupa Goswami recommends that even if one cannot live permanently on the banks of Radha Kund, he should at least take a bath in the lake as many times as possible. This is a most important item in the execution of devotional service. So many of our acharyas did reside on the banks of Radha Kund. Almost all of the six Goswamis had bhajan kutirs on the banks of Radha Kund. And after them, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and still later, from our point of view, more recently, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They all had bhajan kutirs on the banks of Radha Kund and did bhajan there, engaged in devotional service, and wrote books. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita at Radha Kund. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in this connection that Sri Radha Kund is the most select place for those interested in advancing their devotional service in the wake of the lady friends, sakis, and confidential serving maids, manjaris, of Srimati Radharani. Living entities who are eager to return home to the transcendental kingdom of God, Goloka Vrindavan, by means of attaining their spiritual bodies, Siddha Deha, should live at Radha Kund, take shelter of the confidential serving maids of Sri Radha, and under their direction, engage constantly in her service. This is the most exalted method for those engaged in devotional service under the protection of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's instructions here refer to advanced devotees who have spontaneously developed the desire to serve Krishna, Radha and Krishna, or Srimati Radharani in particular, as one of her confidential maid servants. This type of desire arises when one is more or less free from material contamination. There is a stage in devotional service called anartha nivritti, in which a major portion of one's anarthas are eradicated. And it's really only when one has that purity of heart, having passed through the stage of anartha nivritti, that one can feel this spontaneous attraction to serve the Lord in a particular mood. It may not be the mood of the associates of Srimati Radharani. It could be in the mood of a parent of Krishna or a cowherd boyfriend of Krishna or a servant of Krishna. But whatever it is, that mood can arise in a natural way, not an artificial way, when one has passed through that stage of anartha nivritti. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada is given a figure of 75%. That stage is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. That by serving the book Bhagavat, which means hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, or by serving the person Bhagavat, nashta prayeshu. Prayeshu means almost, and nashta means destroyed. So the anarthas are almost destroyed. And in that stage, Bhagavat Bhakti Naishtiki, one becomes fixed and steady in devotional service. Now, we all experience in our practical realization of Krishna consciousness that we have highs and lows. We have ups and downs. So although one may be generally situated at a certain stage in devotional service, if one is inattentive, if one is negligent in one's practices, if one unfortunately falls into the wrong association, and engages in sinful activities or offensive behavior, one can experience a lower stage. We all experience it. And on the other hand, you know, after a nice program or festival, after associating with an advanced devotee or devotees, after a wonderful kirtan, one may experience a glimpse of a higher stage. And one may actually be situated in a higher stage for some time. But generally, one will come to the stage at, most generally at. So we can get a glimpse when we go to Vrindavan or Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, and associate with more advanced devotees, hear Krishna Katha from them, chant a sincere japa, do kirtan. We can feel these sentiments, although we cannot hold them permanently, but we can feel them. And by the gradual process of purification, of devotional service, including preaching is a very important part of it, the heart will become purified, and we can more regularly feel these sentiments. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, living entities who are eager to return home to the transcendental kingdom of God, Goloka Vrindavan, by means of attaining their spiritual bodies, Siddha Deha, should live at Radha Kund, take shelter of the confidential serving maids of Sri Radha, and under their direction engage constantly in her service. So what does this mean? Well, Siddha Deha, that's our spiritual body. We all have spiritual bodies in a seed form within us. The soul is actually the seed form of the spiritual body. And as we progress in devotional service, that spiritual body becomes manifest. And then what does it mean to take shelter of the confidential serving maids of Sri Radha? Well, this is not something... this has different levels to it, or different dimensions to it. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in the Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu, Seva Sadaka Rupena Siddha Rupena Chatrahi. That in a more advanced stage, one is aware of both one's form as a sadhaka and as a siddha. A sadhaka means one who is practicing devotional service, and siddha means one who is perfect in devotional service. And that verse by Rupa Goswami explains that externally we should serve in our sadhaka rup, and internally in our siddha rup, following beloved devotee of Krishna. Now, in our case, as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and specifically as followers of Srila Rupa Goswami, we are called Rupanugas. Our line is a line of Rupanugas. We follow Srila Rupa Goswami and others like him, the six Goswamis and their followers. So this form of Rupa Goswami, although he is an eternally perfect being, but still that form of Rupa Goswami is the form of a sadhaka. He engaged in activities that sadhakas perform. Chanting the holy names, dancing in kirtan, reading scriptures, writing books, and serving his gurus. These are things that devotees do in the stage of sadhana. But in his identity in Krishna Lila, Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari. So this verse, Seva Sadakarupena Siddharupena Chatrihi, means that externally we serve Rupa Goswami as a sadhaka, and internally we serve Rupa Manjari. And the same appears, the same pertains to, say, Srila Prabhupada. The form in which we saw Srila Prabhupada, although he was a perfected being, but the form in which we saw him was the form of a sadhaka. He did the same things that sadhakas do. He got up and read books, wrote books, chanted japa, greeted the deities, gave Srimad Bhagavatam class, preached the message of Krishna, organized the preaching, wrote books, went to the printer, purchased paper, so many things for the service of the Lord. But apart from his sadhaka rup that we all saw, he also has a siddha rup. Now, in the case of Srila Prabhupada, he didn't directly tell us what his identity in Krishna Lila is, and it has been a subject of contemplation and speculation for devotees. And in one sense, we don't need to know, or to put it another way, when we need to know, he will reveal to us. But when one does come to that stage of wanting to serve Krishna in a particular mood, following some particular associates of Krishna in the spiritual world, and in this case we're talking about the Sakis, lady friends of Srimati Radharani, and in particular the Manjaris, the confidential serving maids. It means that we take shelter of the instructions of Rupa Goswami and the example of Rupa Goswami as a sadhaka. And internally, we take shelter of Rupa Manjari and serve under her guidance. So this is a very advanced stage. It's a little esoteric topic, but because it's a special occasion, Sri Radha Kund's appearance day, and because Srila Prabhupada has mentioned these topics in this purport, we're discussing them, just so we know what lies ahead. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that even great sages and great devotees like Narada and Sanaka do not get an opportunity to come to Radha Kund to take their baths. What then to speak of ordinary devotees? Now this is also a very mysterious statement, because apparently one could buy a ticket, fly to Delhi, take a taxi to Vrindavan, to Radha Kund and take a bath. So many people go to Radha Kund and take bath. Not even ordinary devotees. They may not even really be devotees. Of course, they have some connection with Vrindavan, with Govardhan, with Radha Kund. They have some faith. But they may be ritualistic. They may have material desires. They may be impersonalists. And they take bath. And then there are so many tortoises that live in Radha Kund. So many birds come. So how is it that great devotees like Narada and Sanaka do not get an opportunity to Radha Kund to take their baths? One explanation is that for us conditioned souls, the Dham is covered by a veneer of Maya. We visit the Dham, but we don't see the original Vrindavan. We see, I don't want to discuss what's going on in the manifest Vrindavan now, but it's like cars, trucks, noise, traffic horns, and people blaring loudspeakers with cinema music, and then sewage and pigs and flies and filth. There are a lot of those things in Vrindavan now. And with our ordinary vision, that's what we see when we go to Vrindavan. And if we have faith in Krishna, and even without that much faith, but Vrindavan has its potency. And if someone goes to Vrindavan, he can feel an upsurge of spiritual sentiments. I remember the first time I went to Vrindavan. And of course, Srila Prabhupada said one cannot go to Vrindavan simply by purchasing a ticket. There's the story in the Krishna book, in Srimad Bhagavatam, of Akrura when he went to Vrindavan. As soon as he reached the precincts of Vrindavan, he dismounted his chariot and he rolled in the dust of Vrindavan. He saw the footprints of Krishna in the dust of Vrindavan, and in ecstasy he rolled in the dust of Vrindavan. And in fact, the entire journey to Vrindavan, Akrura was simply thinking of Krishna and Balaram and their pastimes, and imagining, oh, when he reaches Vrindavan, he'll see Krishna, he'll see Balaram, they will receive him. And the whole way to Vrindavan, he was thinking of Krishna and Balaram. And then when he got to Vrindavan and actually saw their lotus footprints, he became ecstatic and rolled in the dust. So Srila Prabhupada remarks, this is the way to enter Vrindavan. You cannot enter Vrindavan just by purchasing a ticket. So Vrindavan exists eternally in its original spiritual feature, beyond what we see with our materially contaminated eyes and other senses. But when we develop our siddha dehas, we can reside in that Vrindavan, even when we're in our physical bodies. This is another advanced topic, but there are examples of in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, even of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sort of seeing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and seeing himself in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And then, you know, being, you could say, called back to this manifest world by the efforts of the devotees chanting and sprinkling water on him and so many things. So, one explanation is that it's very rare to take bath in Radhakund, in that Radhakund, with that spiritual perception. And if one takes that bath in that Radhakund, one will immediately awaken love for Krishna in the wake of the gopis. We have for this special occasion, we have come to the last verse of the Upadeshamrita, text 11. So one could say that if one proceeds step by step, following the directions in the first 10 verses, beginning with vachovegam, krodhavegam, manasavegam, like controlling the urges of the senses, we haven't even fully fulfilled the requirements in the first verse. But if we proceed systematically and follow the directions given in the first 10 verses and then take bath in Radhakund as described in the 11th verse, then we will develop that exalted love for Krishna. If by great fortune one gets an opportunity to come to Radhakund and bathe even once, he can develop his transcendental love for Krishna exactly as the gopis did. Another explanation is one goes to Radhakund in whatever one's present consciousness is. Of course, one should have the utmost respect for Radhakund as non-different from Srimati Radharani, but if in that mood of respect one takes bath, even if one is in the conditioned stage, one has inaugurated a process or been part of a process that will ultimately lead one to develop that love for Krishna. Just like we often hear sadhu sanghe, sadhu sanghe, sarva shastra kai, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hai. That just by a moment's association with a pure devotee, one will attain all perfection. Well, it doesn't mean that by a moment's association one will immediately attain perfection, but associating with a pure devotee begins a process that will ultimately lead one to perfection. So one associates with the devotee, one hears his instructions, one follows the instructions, one serves the devotee, and gradually one achieves perfection. So if by great fortune one gets an opportunity to come to Radhakund and bathe even once, he can develop his transcendental love for Krishna exactly as the gopis did. It is also recommended that one should live on the banks of Radhakund and should be absorbed in the loving service of the Lord. One should bathe there regularly and give up all material conceptions, taking shelter of Sri Radha and her assistant gopis. If one is thus constantly engaged during his lifetime, after giving up the body, he will return back to Godhead to serve Sri Radha in the same way as he contemplated during his life on the banks of Radhakund. Now, this is a very important point. That our thoughts at the time of death will determine our next life. And our thoughts during our present life will determine our thoughts at the time of death. So in general terms, if we think of Krishna during our lives, then at the time of death we can think of Krishna and go to Krishna. But thinking of Krishna, it can begin by just seeing the form of Krishna in a picture, seeing the deity of Krishna. But when we hear about Krishna, and we are all meant to hear about Krishna, that's how we learn about him, and that's how we develop our faith and attraction and love for him. Then, and the same applies to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So then when we see the deity of Krishna, or the deity of Krishna Chaitanya, we think of his merciful pastimes, and attractive qualities. Or when we chant, if we've been hearing about Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or reading about them, then when we chant and we are chanting in a nice mood, then naturally we will remember Krishna and his devotees. So, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam, whatever we think at the time of death will be determine our next life. So, as we want to think of Krishna. But again, it's not just Krishna on a pedestal on the altar. That's good. But it really means Krishna, his names, his qualities, his activities with his devotees. That is really thinking of Krishna. And when we develop that particular mood, of course a devotee appreciates Krishna and all of his names, all of his qualities, all of his pastimes, all of his devotees. But if we become eager to serve Krishna in a particular way, as recommended in this verse and purport, then we'll think of Krishna in that particular way. If we're always eager to serve Krishna, following Srimati Radharani and her associates, and that's how we think of Krishna during this life, then at the time of death we'll think of Krishna in that way, and we'll get a body in our next life that's suitable for serving Radha and Krishna in that way, or whatever way it is. If one is thus constantly engaged during his lifetime, after giving up the body, he will return back to Godhead to serve Sri Radha in the same way as he contemplated during his life on the banks of Radha Kund. The conclusion is that to live on the banks of the Radha Kund and to bathe there daily constitute the highest perfection of devotional service. It is a difficult position to attain, even for great sages and devotees like Narada. Thus, there is no limit to the glory of Sri Radha Kund. By serving Radha Kund, one can get an opportunity to become an assistant of Srimati Radharani under the eternal guidance of the gopis. Sri Radha Kund ki jai. Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai. Sri Upadeshamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any questions or comments? Oh, yes, Don Kaley.
You're mentioning how sometimes you may get a glimpse of a more advanced stage, and we may be there for some time, but then ultimately we slip back to our general stage. And because our mind is so powerful, our mind tries to convince us that, oh, this is just how you are. You know, you should just be okay with this. This is me. This is where I am. And it's not necessarily how can we know if that really is where we're at, and how do we get past that?
Well, Don Kaley Prabhu asks a good question, that sometimes we get a glimpse of a higher experience of devotional service, but then we fall back into our more usual condition. And our mind, which is very powerful, will tell us, you know, this is where you're at, just accept it. And don't try to be more than you really are. Well, of course, your actual identity is eternal servant of Krishna. Jiva Sarupai Krishna Nitya Das. That's your constitutional position. And this body and mind and false ego are artificial coverings of your actual identity. So your normal condition is eternal servant of Krishna. That's who you really are. And your present condition is a diseased condition. It's not a normal condition. So yes, if one's been sick for a long time, he might get a little hopeless. But generally, even people who are sick for a long time, you know, unless they're very depressed, and it can happen, but unless they're very depressed, they still try. They still hope that they'll find some cure so they can be healthy and do what they used to do. So this mind, of course, that is a big topic, but you know that it's just your mind, it's not you, it's not Krishna, it's just your mind. And so you shouldn't take it so seriously. You know, it's just your mind, or another way of putting it is Maya. You know, it's just Maya trying to discourage you from making progress. And you should not pay heed. You know, you should have confidence. That's also one of the instructions of Upadeshamrita. Utsaha nischaya daryat tat tat karma pravartanat. One should have confidence that because I'm doing my best to serve Krishna, Krishna will help me. And ultimately bring me to success. So that's one of the six items for the successful execution of devotional service. Confidence. One should have confidence in Krishna and in the power of the process of devotional service and in the mercy of the devotees of Krishna. And when your mind speaks nonsense, then you just ignore it. Just don't pay it any attention. And eventually it'll stop. Srila Prabhupada said that we're in the kingdom of Maya. So it's natural that Maya will call us. You didn't say it, but it's implicit. When Maya calls you, she's calling you for material enjoyment. Maya saying, you are where you're at. Don't try to act on an artificial platform. You are where you're at, which means you have material desires, so you should fulfill them. That's what it really means. So Srila Prabhupada said that when Maya calls, and her call is, come on and join me. Come on, enjoy me. That's the call of Maya. But Srila Prabhupada said if we don't heed the call of Maya, then eventually she'll give up. She'll realize this person's not interested. I'm just wasting my time. That's like, it happens in the material world. You're pursuing someone, you keep phoning for whatever reason, and they never take your call. So eventually you give up. I've called so many times, the person never takes my call. It's obvious the person's not interested. So, forget it. So that's what we have to do when Maya calls. We have to ignore her call. And as soon as we entertain her call, we come in her clutches. Like a friend of mine told me, he went, I think, for a job interview from Yahoo. And Yahoo has a room. It's like a huge, screen, and it keeps track of all the hits. And, according to all the hits, they get to charge their advertisers more. Or I think what it is when someone advertises, like every hit they get, they pay something to Yahoo. And he explained about telemarketing. It's the same thing. They keep track. So if there's a huge computer system, and all the telemarketers are linked together on the computer system, and there's a huge database that keeps track of your responses to telemarketers to see if you're like a good prospect. So if you don't answer the phone, like, you're safe. If you answer the phone and hear it's a telemarketer and immediately hang up, it's recorded. You answered the phone, so there's hope of getting to you. If you answer the phone, you find out that it's a telemarketer, and you speak to the person, even if you say, I'm sorry, I'm not interested, that's recorded, and you're considered an even better prospect than someone who just hangs up. And if you answer the phone and listen to what they say and then say you're not interested, then you're considered a really good candidate. And that's recorded. And if you listen and say you'll think about it, oh boy, you're like almost the perfect candidate. And if you actually buy some product or service, you're like the perfect candidate. So it's all recorded. Every phone call from a telemarketer, your response is recorded and it goes into your file. How likely you are to respond to a telemarketer's phone call. So it's like that with Maya. She's calling us, and the more we heed her call, the more she's encouraged. Oh boy, this person's really responsive, you know. This person's really taking me seriously. Boy, this is a good candidate. I'm really going to work on him. And the more we neglect her, the more she'll feel, this person's not interested. There's no way to get through. I don't think I can do anything with this person. But of course, we're weak, and therefore we pray to our superior authorities, take shelter of our superior authorities, take shelter of the holy name, take shelter of the scriptures, take shelter of good devotees, take shelter of the deities, and that will give us the strength to resist the calls of Maya. Yes, Narottam?
Hare Krishna. Now, I was just recalling the appearance of Radhakund last night, and when we had actually gone there for the Braj Mandal Parikram, and with a group of devotees, about 500 of us, we were being led by a Lokanath Goswami, and Lokanath Swami and Satchidananda Maharaj, Jai Satchidananda Maharaj from Germany. Satchidananda Maharaj, thank you very much. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj joined us from Krishna Balaram Mandir. And but the festival, just give everyone just a quick idea of what it was like. All day long we have been worshipping Radhakund. Our party got there early in the morning, and so we were there, and it was really a powerful experience, because all day long there were lectures like this about Radhakund, about the process of worshipping, and entering more deeply and trying to develop the pure qualities of spontaneous love for Krishna. And so one lecture, then a huge kirtan, then another lecture, and then another huge kirtan, and then another lecture, and another huge kirtan, until it got till late into the night. And I remember by that point, the crowd was just phenomenal. It was like people were coming from every direction. There was no way of telling how many people were there. And what actually occurred for me is our kirtan party came down to the, there's like a set of stairs that comes down to the area of Radhakund, and then there's another set of stairs that goes down into the water, actually. And the crowd became so intense that I had become pinned. And all of the devotees, this is hundreds of devotees, we were just like completely compressed by the crowd. And I can remember my feet weren't touching the ground. Yeah, I was compressed against the person in front of me. My feet were totally off of the ground. And I went down those stairs. You know, it's a big set of stairs. It's a big set of stairs, you know. Without touching the stairs, you know, I was like trying to feel it with my toes, you know. and then, you know, it was getting up till midnight, and the crowd was just like, you know, It was incredible volume and intensity. And then, you know, you're literally just carried right down. And then we got to, like, just a few feet from Raticune, and then people were, like, cheering and jumping into the water and submerging themselves. And, you know, it was just thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It was just a phenomenal experience. So I would recommend definitely going on that portion or all of the Braj Mandal Parikram and getting this type of association that Maharaj is kindly offering you. I did have a question also, Maharaj, and my question was more dealing with the chanting of the holy name and developing the actual mood, the correct mood for, arousing or awakening the spontaneous love, especially as this being described here in our line, in the mood of Srila Rupa Goswami. And I know Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he lectured extensively on this topic, one example, and I'll give this microphone back to you, but with this question, and I was hoping you could take a little bit more time and elaborate on this, and he was describing how as we chant, as we develop ourselves in chanting, it requires a very specific focus. And not just chanting in general. And he gave the example of someone calling your name in an official status, like going through an international immigration terminal, and someone just saying, "Are you Giriraj Swami?" You know, and you just say, "Yes, I am." "Okay, thank you very much." And they stamp your passport and you go. So he was saying that, you know, in a very neophyte condition, or in a materialistic condition, we might chant the holy name like that. And but he said what he found is with most of us, we weren't chanting with a desire for fruit of gain or a desire for gyan. He found that most of us were chanting out of duty. "Well, I have 16 rounds. I have to finish these 16 rounds today." But he told us that that type of chanting, though it was good and it would free us from sinful reaction, and we would become happy, but it wouldn't bring us to the platform of pure love of Radha and Krishna. He was just saying that there was a tendency for us to oversimplify the process, and that he was recommending gaining shiksha, just like you had described. He was telling us that that don't think you're going to get everything from. He was referring to himself as an initiating spiritual master. He said that Srila Prabhupada very specifically and numerously elaborated the necessity of a shiksha guru. And so he was directing us like that. So, without going more farther, because I know you'd know this topic much, much better than I do, I was just hoping if you could just touch on that a little bit, on that specific, the correct type of chanting that brings us to this, you know, the stage that you're describing here.
Thank you for your nice comment and question. I should mention now, and I'm not sure exactly how it's been arranged, but Vrasaraj Prabhu has arranged a japa session with me tomorrow morning from 9 to 11. No, tomorrow morning. Unfortunately, it's during working hours for many devotees, but it's the best he could do. From 9 to 11. in the japa retreats, one thing that Satchinandan Swami emphasizes is that we should be in the receiver's mode, not in the achiever's mode. In other words, we do our best. You could even say as a matter of duty, but we do our best to, you know, sit properly, to articulate the syllables exactly, to focus the mind on the mantra, on the sound of the mantra, and even to chant in a prayerful mood with one's heart. But even doing all of that, the final result of that effort depends on Krishna, Krishna's mercy. He compares, maybe I'll discuss this tomorrow morning, but like in South Indian temples, there's like an outer wall and you go through the gate, then there's another wall, another gate, another wall, another gate. So in this example, say the outer wall is the physical body, you know, sitting properly with erect posture. So you do that, then you go in the next gate, and that's to pronounce the mantra correctly, each word, okay. We go through the next gate, and that's to try to fix the mind on the sound of the mantra. It's a struggle, but you can do it to some extent. And you go in the next gate, and then the next gate is that brings you into the temple room. And then you're in a very prayerful mood. You know, that's the mood of prayer. But in spite of all that, the door to the deity's chamber may be closed. And it's not in your power to open that door. That door is not opened from the outside. That door is only opened from the inside. So, certainly the more we're, and of course the experience of japa, our experience of japa will depend on the quality of our life outside of the time when we chant japa. How Krishna conscious we are during the rest of the time. And, but generally, it's better to chant in the early morning. And in japa retreats, devotees have commented about the benefit of reading something about Krishna's pastimes at night before they take rest. And Srila Prabhupada himself introduced the system of reading the Krishna book at night before devotees take rest. And you know, devotees have commented that if they think of Krishna's pastimes when they take rest by reading the Krishna book or whatever, then in the morning when they chant their japa, it's sort of natural that they'll think of Krishna's pastimes. Because whatever we think about, whatever we're attached to, we will tend to think about even when we're chanting, although we try not to, but, you know, we're preoccupied with money, how to get money, how to pay the bills, how to juggle the finances. Probably think about that when we're chanting japa. Or, you know, we have a small child or an adolescent child and thinking, you know, well, what's my child going through? How's my child going to turn out? And what can I do? And that's what we're thinking about during the day. Then those thoughts will probably come to mind when we're chanting as well. So the more we can think of Krishna during the day, then the more likely it is we'll think of him when we chant. And especially at night, if we set that mood of reading about Krishna at night, and then first thing in the morning we bathe and come before the deity and chant, then there's a better chance that the chanting will remind us of those pastimes. Now, you know, much later we may... but I think that, you know, that would happen naturally if one is attracted to a certain kind of pastime. But, I mean, as Prabhupada always emphasized, you know, we accept Krishna completely. You know, it's not like, you know, some people, oh, we don't want Krishna speaking the Bhagavad Gita, we only want Krishna with the gopis. No, we want Krishna as Krishna. We love Krishna in every respect, in all of his features, and all of his incarnations. And they're all included in, you know, in Madan Mohan, and Govinda, and Gopinath, and Radharaman. And our acharyas, they've all written, I mean, they've written commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. Most exalted acharyas, you know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And they've written commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, beginning from the first canto, covering all the cantos, all the chapters, all the incarnations, all the pastimes. So, so I would say that, and then preaching is, it's like the most purifying, it's the most pleasing to Krishna. You know, if we preach, we really get mercy that will help us, because we ultimately depend on mercy anyway. I mean, we can do everything that we're meant to do. I mean, we can try to do everything that we're meant to do, but ultimately we depend on mercy. And preaching is, it's extremely purifying. It's talking about Krishna. It's bringing people to Krishna. It's pleasing to Krishna. And you get a lot of mercy from that. And, of course, Tamal Krishna Goswami emphasized that, along with everything else. I mean, that's essential. Preaching is the essence. It's good. And again, especially in our line, to read about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's also very favorable. And within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna Leela. You know, Chaitanya Charitamrita is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was absorbed in thinking of Krishna Leela, so with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you get Krishna Lila too. But yeah, I agree, we should, I think the point about duty is well taken. I think what Goswami Maharaj meant was duty without affection. You know, he wasn't suggesting we don't do our duty. So what we're talking about is duty without affection or duty with affection. And yes, so if we do all these things, then we will develop, not just develop loving sentiments for Krishna, but we'll enter into loving reciprocation with Krishna through our efforts to chant attentively and through our efforts to preach his message and bring new people to him. We all feel Krishna's reciprocation when we do that. When we distribute books, when we speak about him, when we meet new people, when we answer questions, we feel Krishna's reciprocation. That becomes like a living relationship. And it's very vital and vivid. But yeah, I think that's a very good point. We should just really surrender ourselves to the process, give ourselves fully to the process, give our whole heart and soul to the process, and then the chanting will be, yeah, it'll be part of the whole process. It won't be like a separate activity. Okay, you know, like Prabhupada said that one time, like, he's chanting his rounds, then he commented to his servant, okay, finish 16 rounds, puts a bead bag on his desk, said, okay, 16 rounds finished, now I can do any damn thing. So, yeah, the whole thing should be, you know, put us into this great flow, this great current of bhakti that will just carry us along, you know, to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. All right, thank you very much. Oh yes, one other thing, because you know, I have to leave for Houston on Thursday because they've arranged programs for me beginning Friday, but I did want to have more chance to associate with you all. So on Wednesday, on Ekadasi, we'll have a program, I guess at 7 o'clock. Yeah. Archie's at 6:30, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so 7, maybe 7 to 8, and Damodar has to come in. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol.